WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour a little earlier this week. We're doing it from 1 to 4 on Thursday at the Beaumont in Catonsville. And you know, I got to talk to Evan Brown because I don't have a Beaumont shirt. I have a State Fair shirt. I have an El Guapo shirt. I'll wear them all week. But I'm getting me a Beaumont shirt as well as probably the chicken fried lobster as well as something good for lunch. And in addition to the delicious crab cake over there, maybe the Brussels sprouts. All of it brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. Be giving away Raven scratch-offs, as well as our friends at Goodwill and Window Nation. And, of course, the Restaurant Association of Maryland, where there's still a few places sort of extending restaurant week this week. The Ravens are looking to extend a winning streak here this week. The Buffalo Bills will be coming to town. They won the Super Bowl last week, and lo and behold, turns out the Dolphins are the real Super Bowl champions. Luke Jones joins us now. It is a post-week three, and look, man, you go to New England and you win. As I wrote in my columnist at Baltimore Positive, anybody wants to read, I'm writing a couple times a week now about sports. You go to New England and win. I got no complaints about it. And certainly, if the show is about Lamar Jackson, and it is, he's healthy. I mean, they could play with a fifth string left tackle before it's all over with. I mean, they might be bringing Harry Swain in. They might be playing Jamil McClain and Zach Orr linebacker. But as long as they have him, they're okay, right?
No question about it. As I wrote at BaltimorePositive.com, you look at the Ravens' problems, not just the ones we've been talking about, the ongoing ones, but those problems got even worse on Sunday in many ways. You mentioned you're down to your fourth string left tackle. You're already so light at outside linebacker that you're playing guys out of position. You're calling up Brandon Copeland from the practice squad who hadn't been with the team in the spring and the summer, and you lose Justin Houston. You lose Michael Pierce on a run defense that's been a little shakier than anticipated. We focus so much on the pass and the Ravens' issues in the secondary. The run defense has been leaky. They lose Michael Pierce. Go down the list of all the things that happened on Sunday, and in the end, he didn't do it alone, but Lamar Jackson was head and shoulders above everyone else on the field as far as the best player out there, and I don't know, man. Through 3 weeks of the regular season, and it's very early. We understand that. And as you mentioned, it's a week-to-week league, as you mentioned with Buffalo and what happens after they look like the best team in the league through the first 2 weeks, and then they lose at Miami. But Lamar Jackson's looking like the MVP of the league again. And we know what that meant for the Ravens 3 years ago. So all of those issues that I just mentioned that I feel like would have sunk most teams being in that position with just the injuries that they sustained alone on Sunday. None of those problems feel as significant when you have number 8 at quarterback, and he was absolutely brilliant once again. So, you know, from that standpoint, yeah, there's a lot they still have to work through, and the injuries are continuing to pile up, and that's problematic and concerning. But when you have Lamar Jackson playing the way he did on Sunday and the way that he's played over these first 3 weeks of the season, you feel like the Ravens can overcome it. And they certainly did on Sunday with Lamar turning in just another brilliant performance, 4 touchdown passes, rushed for over 100 yards, a touchdown run. I mean, I don't know what to keep saying about this guy on a weekly basis, except all of his detractors that he has and people who question longevity and all those different things that you and I have debated before, and I'm sure we'll debate in the future.
Well, they are legitimate debates. I mean, he has a parade seeing a quarterback do it this way for 20 weeks. I mean, until there's a parade, he's just a great quarterback who's done things like Michael Vick did or Randall Cunningham did before, or just unique player. Bo Jackson was a unique player. He's not in the Hall of Fame because he didn't last long enough, right? So there, I mean, Shohei Ohtani does this amazing thing, right, that we've never seen before. It really is amazing. You live long enough, right? You start to see, you know, guys kick 70-yard field goals and just crazy stuff happening. But Lamar's statistical breakdown for yards passed, yards run, touchdowns through 3 weeks. Just, you know, if it were to continue at this pace, and I'm not here to tell you can't throw 4 more next week or run for 2 more next week or throw for 2 more next week or that it won't look like that, because it certainly looks like they're going to score 25 or 30 points every week, one way or another. And maybe sometimes it's Marcus Williams taking a ball back or Devin Duvernay, or maybe they have to kick 3 or 4 field goals 1 week, right? And, you know, and that will cut them down to a 19 or a 21 point offensive output. But it feels like they're going to score 3 or 4 touchdowns every week. He's either going to touch it, throw it, maybe hand it, but they got to figure all that out, right? that the statistical part of him, if he stays upright, I mean, I saw him give himself up like Peyton Manning. I saw him go fetal. I haven't seen him do that in 4 years. So all of the little man in his head, whether the little man's James Urban, once he gets to the facility, or whether it's his own thing that he's doing in Florida, that he's paying someone handsomely to coach him up, whatever the voice is in his head, slowing down for him. And that should be scary to all of them, that he was pissed off by being injured last year, as we predicted. He was pissed off about losing to the Titans. He was pissed off about losing to the Chargers. He went back into the laboratory. He doesn't chase girls online. He doesn't chase, I mean, other than the Kodak Black thing, but he is working on being a football player. And I don't think that's different than seeing Matt Leinart and Kyle Bowler in the Playboy Mansion hanging out, you know, having bubblies. It's very, very apparent how hard he's worked at his craft and how much better he's gotten and how much smarter he's gotten and how the game slowed down for him.
It's very simple. At the close of business on Sunday night, leads the NFL in touchdown passes, leads the NFL in passer rating, ranks third in the NFL in rushing, and leads the NFL at 9.3 yards per carry.
Drop the mic. That's it.
There are no caveats. What you mentioned about the Super Bowl applies to any quarterback, whether they are the traditional pocket passer or whether they're Lamar Jackson, who's one of one. That applies to any quarterback until he wins. We talked about that with Joe Flacco until he won, by the way, in his fifth season. So it's not even, for me, all the arguments about doing it differently. He's doing it differently, and he's getting better. I mean, this is a version of Lamar Jackson. We're now seeing play under center, Nestor. It's not as though they're lining up in the pistol, and, you know, people talked about the novelty and how different it was. Yeah, he's unique, but that's a compliment to what Lamar is doing. So it's been absolutely incredible, and for him to do what he's done early on without having a starting left tackle or his backup left tackle. He loses his number three left tackle, six offensive snaps into the game on Sunday. And Daniel Falele, who was drafted in the fourth round to be the right tackle of the future. This is a kid who did not play left tackle at the University of Minnesota. I asked Joe Ortiz a couple days after the draft if they thought Falele could be a left tackle, and he didn't dismiss the possibility in the way that you don't want to dismiss it for anyone, but he made clear that this is a guy we think is going to be a right tackle in the NFL. Well, they had no one else other than if you're going to move Morgan Moses from right to left tackle. They put the rookie out there. He struggled early on, but he settled in. The Ravens made adjustments. Pat Ricard, I think, had a lot to do that. We saw him doing phenomenal things in pass protection and as a run blocker. But ultimately, it comes down to Lamar Jackson, again, being the absolute best player on the field. And he's been fun to watch. He's always fun to watch. That's stating the obvious. But what he's done over these first few weeks, and specifically these last 2 weeks, knowing what kind of game they got into with Miami, and as you mentioned, knowing how difficult it can be going up to Foxborough. Although I'd remind everyone, Mac Jones is not Tom Brady. And I think seeing him turn the ball over the way that he did was a reminder of that. But again, the issues they have on either side of the ball right now, and they're real. There are things that you could absolutely be concerned about, but all of that feels a little less concerning when you have Lamar Jackson doing what he's done over these first few weeks. I mean, he's been nothing short of brilliant.
Luke Jones is here. You can find him at Baltimore Luke, and of course, follow his work at BaltimorePositive.com and his social media at Baltimore Luke. And of course, I am back on the writing bandwagon. Columness, Columnes is the way to find that, in a Crab Cake Tour, and running around and doing all the things we're doing here, getting ready for the Buffalo Bills this week. I do want to talk about the Falele situation and the left tackle situation. And look, I'm sort of famously thrown out at this point, so you're the one out there asking the questions. And you and I have, probably from the time you joined the company almost 15 years ago now, have talked about going out there and having your little notebook and asking you little questions and have them look you in the eye and say ridiculous things or things that are double talk or, hey, I'm not going to let you know that for competitive reasons or gambling reasons or whatever it is. But the sleight of hand on all of the injuries and who's ready and who's not and where J.K. Dobbins is playing, or whether it's Ronnie Stanley not even getting on the plane. And they knew last Tuesday he wasn't getting on the plane, you know. So I don't know what they really know about Ronnie Stanley or think. I mean, you are of the mindset he's out there, he's working hard, he's running around. At some point, they will put him in there and let him play left tackle. I wonder if some point were yesterday if he were up somehow, but they wouldn't have him up as a third string left tackle. You're either good enough to play or not good enough to play. That's the way they felt about him. Maybe this expedites him back onto the field this week in some way that we'll find out whether he's game worthy in the middle of 2022. But behind all of this is all of this money and the biggest fear with Lamar, because as much as we talk about Lamar, sure, better talk about his contract. Even though he doesn't want to talk about it, we're going to, because it affects the whole puzzle. And as the puzzle moves on, they signed the left tackle who was world-class, who they had to lose a whole lot to get. They had to stink to get Ronnie Stanley, right? Like, you have to be really bad to get the lottery pick to get you Ronnie Stanley. You have to live through whatever the Washington Commanders are going to live through this year, or whatever the Seahawks, some of these bad teams that are going to have that opportunity. But then you draft that guy, you bring him in, you're John Ogden, he gets hurt, you have all this money into him, and now you have this issue where you have a quarterback you're trying to protect that you haven't paid yet, who won't take your money. As the money relates, it's a fascinating conversation to see where the deficiencies are, where the money is spent. It was always spent on the defensive side of the ball around here. But they've got all this money sunk into a left tackle they can't get onto the field. And now they're going to, I guess, if he really can't play, if he really wasn't able to play on Sunday, and that's the worry, he didn't even get on the plane, right? When they could have used him, even if he's not 100%, but you would say, don't play him if he's not 100%. That's how you get hurt. And we went through that even a little bit on Sunday with Justin Herbert around the league, right? So Ronnie Stanley, left tackle, where they are, they are in the hour of need, right? I mean, this is, they're playing the Bills, they're playing the Bengals, they're playing the teams they're going to need to beat. They can't be 2-3. I'm doing the math on this, right? I mean, there's two more games here. They at least need to split these, but they're both home games. In an ideal world, you'd be looking up at 4-1 and saying, we are the king if you win these games, right? You'll be the best team in the AFC, even with a fifth string tackle, if you win these games. But this is starting to get important early. When I look at these two games and what they represent and where the roster is right now and what they're trying to do as they continue, as you pointed out, to get more injured, the left tackle thing, it's cute, it's nice, they can live with it for a little while, but I saw the first couple of plays and I was like, oh my God. I mean, there was an oh my God moment in the second quarter where you're like, how are they going to play like this for a couple of weeks? Because I don't know that they can beat the Bills and the Bengals, especially when you get time to study and figure out what you're going to do about a left tackle who has no business being on the field.
Yeah, and let's also not dismiss the fact that, okay, they forced four turnovers, but they let Mac Jones throw the ball all over the field against them in a way that, okay, you say with Tua, hey, he's got Jalen Waddle and he has Tyreek Hill. Jacoby Myers didn't even play for the Patriots on Sunday, and he's regarded as their best wide receiver. So you have those issues that you're working through on the other side of the ball, but there's a full understanding when you're going to go up against Buffalo and you're going to go up against Cincinnati these next 2 weeks, you're going to have to score points. And that was known long before we were talking about left tackle or breakdowns in the secondary or anything like that. That's just the nature of the game when you're going up against teams of that ilk, if you want to be one of those elite contenders in the AFC. But you know, as it pertains to Ronnie Stanley, Sunday, he misses his 30th game in the Ravens' last 31 contests. I mean, whew, let that marinate for a moment.
Yeah, I mean, you said it that way, man. Right. That wouldn't even look good two seasons in writing, would it? Right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's amazing.
It's basically two full seasons at this point. That's how close we're getting. Now, I'm including the 2020 postseason, those two games. Of course, he played in the season opener last year and then shut it down again. But a couple things with him.
He hasn't played a lot more football than Marshall Yanda is what you're telling me. Pretty much, right? Literally.
Well, Marshall Yanda would say he never had an injury as severe as Ronnie Stanley's ankle injury, but I did ask John Harbaugh about Stanley on Friday. A couple things to note. He did practice on back-to-back days for the first time last week. He practiced Wednesday and Thursday, albeit still on a limited basis. And John Harbaugh, I asked him about Stanley, and I'm going to read this word for word, because I want to compare it to something then, specifically with J.K. Dobbins having just returned to the field this week and knowing how Dobbins was popping off on Twitter in mid-July, of that vowing that he was going to be ready and taking issue with reports, even though the reporting was completely legitimate at the time. But it speaks to how desperate he was to get back on the field. And some of that's probably youthful exuberance. But let me read you what John Harbaugh had to say about Ronnie Stanley on Friday afternoon. "I really think it's kind of getting to the point where it's kind of week to week, day to day-ish. Again, it comes back to him feeling like he's going to be playing at his best. That's really what it boils down to. He's very sound, very strong. He's in great shape. Maybe the best shape that I've seen him in some ways since he's been here. When he feels like he's ready to go out there and be Ronnie Stanley at his best, then he'll be out there." Now, compare that to what the Ravens have said and how they've handled J.K. Dobbins, basically saying, "We think he's ready. He wants to be out there. The kid's working hard, but we want to do what's best for him. We want to protect the player." It is very clear that this return timetable is very much in Ronnie Stanley's, you know, it's in his hands. It's in his mind as far as when he's going to be ready. Whereas they were telling J.K. Dobbins, "You're not playing yet." And so much of that, keep in mind, they have GPS tracking. They have player tracking data. They can tell you exactly how fast J.K. Dobbins is moving now compared to how he moved pre-injury. And I think that's a big part of it. And I think we even saw
And that's an amazing thing to compare that to where they were even with Dennis Pitta. Or sure, let's take it before that with Todd Heap. Or, you know, players that we've known to be injured or have injury issues and getting them back on the field and what that barometer would be. What is showing you out in Owings Mills on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that this player can play on Sunday? And the question with Ronnie Stanley would be, what did you see last August that told you that you should stick him out on the field in Las Vegas? Because, I mean, I remember watching Matt Hasselbeck. Luke, ever since they thrown me out, since Chad Steele threw me in, I watch TV now. So I listen to things, you know. So Matt Hasselbeck was talking about a time in his career when he played with a flak jacket, and he was wearing a jacket on ESPN with Rex goofing off, and talking about whether or not Justin Herbert should try to play. And Hasselbeck said he regretted, in the grown man in him regrets playing because he really wasn't ready. And I would think that Ronnie Stanley has had a year of that. And the last thing Ronnie Stanley wants is you and me coming here. He decides to play against the Bengals and his leg snaps. And, you know, he plays three quarters, and then that's the end of the end of the end, in the way it was for Dennis Pitta, who you and I love, you know, like that there comes a point where your body can't do this anymore, whether it be age, fatigue, mental. But the fact that Ronnie Stanley's got all this money in the bank and wants to go out there and do this and thinks, I wonder if, you know, if you talk to him, does he really think he has three seasons or five seasons of football in him? Does he, in his mind, is he going to play the end of the year to be strong? Like, I don't know what the issue would be a year later in thinking you can or you can't, because that's always been the hardest part of once I got injured one time in 2006 and I had my first surgery and I couldn't walk and I couldn't stand. I understood more about what these guys go through. I'll never understand what it means other than having laryngitis to feed my family that I couldn't do it. Right. But for him, the notion that he went back out and did it too soon last year is a warning flag that to Harbaugh's point, only he knows, right? Like, he tried this before. He went out there too early before and he got hurt. And I don't think he wants to do that again.
Yeah. And for me, it's much more complicated than can he play or can't he play? You know, it's not a pass-fail proposition. I mean, there are plenty of players who come back. We've mentioned Ladarius Webb, right? We've talked about all these different players that have
Jimmy
come back
Smith,
from injuries.
Sure.
Ladarius Webb had two ACL injuries over his first four NFL seasons. Now, he came back from the second one. Remember, the Ravens had paid him in 2012. You know, he's being paid as one of the, I can't remember where he was at his peak, but certainly was amongst the highest paid corners in the league for a time. He came back. He played, what, another 5 years or so after that? Was never the same player, even though it's not as though he missed, you know, a full seasons and things of that nature. It's not as though he suffered another catastrophic injury. He just wasn't the same player. So for me, I don't even know how much of it is, and only Ronnie Stanley can answer this, and I think even the Ravens are wondering this at this point because of what I said. I'm guessing there are probably people within the organization at this point who kind of think, okay, let's go. You're ready, right? I mean,
well, he hasn't hit anybody. They don't practice like that anymore. He's not out there pancaking guys or really holding 100% against Von Miller. You know what I mean? Like, they don't practice that way. You're out there, right? I mean, he's not banging out there to find out how sound he is in a game speed. They're certainly not banging like that this time of year.
Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of it, but it's very limited, right? I mean, it's you might have a handful of plays where you'll really go at it in the way. And even then, whoever you're going up against protecting Lamar Jackson's blind side inherently knows they're not hitting the quarterback in practice. So there's always going to be that little bit of hold up, right? That little bit of hesitation on the defensive player's part. But for me, I don't even know how much of it is Stanley thinking in his mind the possibility of, you know, having another injury, having to go through another surgery. It might be that he's as healthy now as he's going to be. And the problem with that is, as I said, it's not as simplistic as healthy enough to play or not. There's a wide range in between those two outcomes where he comes back. He might be healthy. He might stay on the field, but he might be a significantly diminished version of the all-pro left tackle he was 3 years ago. And that's just reality.
In the way that Jimmy Smith or Ladarius Webb or any of these guys weren't really the same, right? I mean, Flacco didn't move the same after his injury ever.
Well, and just the reality of you get older, you're not as good usually, unless you're Barry Bonds, right? I mean, that's nature too. So when you throw a significant injury that requires multiple surgeries into that picture, I think there is a sense of you do get to a point, and I'm not saying that this is just me speculating, not so much that the Ravens feel this way, but you do get to a point where so much time has passed where you just say, okay, Ronnie, we understand you want to take your time after what happened last year. Totally understandable. You started practicing roughly a month later than you did last year, where I think he began practicing right around August 8th, August 9th, somewhere in that neighborhood. And then he played in the opener. He didn't start practicing until Labor Day this time around. So, okay, you ramp up for a few weeks, whether he plays this week or whether we're talking next week, you know, somewhere, you know, we're already at week four. So week four, five, six, somewhere in that neighborhood. But there's always that question of this might be as good as you get. You might be healthy, but the range of motion in your ankle just might not be what it was. Your agility might not be what it was. I mean, John Harbaugh has said physically he's in good shape. It's not as though he's 40 pounds heavier or anything like that.
He's not limping or anything, right?
Yeah, I mean, but it might just be that you might not get back to what 100% was. Your new 100% might be 90% of what you were, which, by the way, would probably still be easily the best the Ravens have at left tackle. But if you're Ronnie Stanley, who clearly cares about his craft, and as you alluded to, and as he mentioned at one point in an interview with The Athletic last fall, you know, later into the season, where he acknowledged, I probably rushed it a little bit more than I should have. But if you do all those things, there's still that possibility. You can take your time, but you might not get back. So then there's that question of, if not now, when? If you weren't ready for week one, week two, week three, fine, but is week four going to be that much better? Is week six going to be that much better? Is week 11 going to be that much better? You just get to a point where at some point, I think you just have to find out, right? If he's feeling good, which to me, if he weren't feeling good, he wouldn't be out there at all. You know, so you're doing this ramp up, and that makes sense. And consider how long they ramped up with Marcus Peters, how long they ramped up with J.K. Dobbins. So if we're going to look at those for comparisons, and they're different injuries. I get that. But at the same time, if you're looking at a slower ramp up, it's not shocking that Ronnie Stanley hasn't played yet. Again, he started practicing on Labor Day. We're talking 3 weeks, you know, so those guys practiced for over a month until they played in a game. So I think from that standpoint, you know, you're still trying to be as patient as possible, but boy, as you mentioned, if this truly is in Ronnie Stanley's hands in terms of the timetable and when he deems himself ready to go, there has to be some urgency now on his part where he's looking at this and he's seeing they're down to this kid who is big. He's got promise. I think, you know, again, he played admirably as the day went on Sunday, considering the spot he was in, but it's not a left tackle, at least not yet, right? So he's a left tackle in name only because he has to be the left tackle at this point, at least until Patrick McCary's ankle heals up. So if you are Ronnie Stanley, Yeah, not that I think necessarily the Ravens are going to push him per se, but intrinsic motivation is there as well at this point too, where you just say, yeah, I want to do this right, but I know my team really needs me now. We're down to our fourth string left tackle and it's week four. So it will be interesting to see what the practice participation is this week. And I'm not saying definitively that he'll be out there on Sunday, going up against the Bills, but at the same time, if it's not Von Miller this week, it's Trey Hendrickson the following week. It's go down the list. I mean, they'll play the Browns in a few weeks. It'll be Myles Garrett. I mean, there's a challenge every week. So at some point he is going to have to get out there and we're all going to find out where he is in this recovery from just an unfortunate ankle injury that's derailed a promising career and completely derailed what was a 98.75 million. I think it was off the top of my head, a contract where the Ravens have gotten one full game since that happened.
He's Luke Jones. He is Baltimore Luke. He's covering the Ravens and winding things down with the Orioles as well. We're going to be winding things up on Thursday at the Beaumont. I'm wearing my State Fair shirt. I'll get my El Guapo gear out as well. Evan and the crew will be joining us for a special lunchtime edition, 1 to 4 on Thursday over at the Beaumont. It is all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have some Raven scratch-offs to give away as well as Goodwill. And Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I am opening and shutting my windows here in fall and enjoying the fall weather. Got a couple of home football games coming up around here and plenty going on, including my new column Nest, you can read out at BaltimorePositive.com. I am Nestor. He's Luke. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, getting ready for the Buffalo Bills all week here downtown. We are BaltimorePositive.com.